You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. C-Notes coming up here in 20 minutes. We'll take a look at the top Cowboys headlines of the day. Right now, Zach Wolchuk delivers the NFL news. Here he is, Zachary.
All right, let me slide in a quick Cowboys convo here. As you mentioned the quote earlier of Troy Aikman, Cowboys three-time Super Bowl champ, as he was talking to the media along with Dak Prescott yesterday at the Children's Cancer Fund's fashion show as they were promoting pediatric patients that were walking the stage. They do this every year. It's an awesome cause, but Troy was asked about now going on 30 years of a drought of a championship, and that really does include not even playing in a conference championship. Here's what Troy had to say.
Well, it's just hard to believe. I mean, I remember in 95 when we won our last Super Bowl that I didn't think we were done then. I thought we had more, and I thought we would be back. Obviously, we weren't. But not only were we not back, but here we are almost three decades later, and no one's been back. So I think I speak for the Cowboys faithful in saying that it's been a long time. And this is the Dallas Cowboys. It's an organization that's had great history, and this team has won a lot of games over the years with a lot of different players. But for whatever reasons, they just haven't been able to get it done in the postseason. I don't think anybody's happy about that, but that's been a part of the Cowboys' legacy and what this franchise is stood for.
Nobody is happy. Michael's not happy. Emmett certainly wasn't happy. Dez hasn't been happy. You go down the list of former players, I think everybody, it is hard to believe a team that had so much success, even in the 80s when they didn't win a championship, they were still knocking on the door of possibly playing in one, and now you're going on a three-decade run, a generation of fans that haven't even seen them play for a chance to be in the Super Bowl on that championship Sunday. You'd think the law of averages, something would go ahead and bounce your way. It just hasn't happened, and it is. You're searching for answers. Troy doesn't have any. Now he's just like, you're the Cowboys. It's shocking. It's stunning. I don't know. I don't know what to say, but man, hopefully they can do some soul searching and change the way they operate.
Real quick, before we get going even more here, I was over at the Star this morning.
Yeah,
doing the Cowboy break, and folks over there were appreciated the question that you asked Emmett about Ashton Jeanty, but they were really surprised at the answer, in surprised in a way of like, really Emmett, that kind of thing. So. But they wanted me to tell you that thanks for the question. That was a good one you had.
Well, thank you, because my heart was in my throat as soon as I.
But
got
they were surprised.
The initials, like, crap.
They were surprised
I just that Emmett off.
Yeah, they were really surprised that his answer was that.
Yeah, he said it depends on what kind of a system you're going to run,
sure,
and if you have the guys to make the most of having Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah,
I was a little bit intrigued by that as well, because I would think for Emmett's perspective, you'd want to get the next star running back in here.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the idea that Ashton Jeanty could very well be the Cowboys pick at 12.
Well, I'm more excited now with the moves that they've made to this coaching staff. I mean, it seems like that is the emphasis. We were talking on Love of the Star today.
Right.
When you bring in Clayton Adams, when you're bringing in Coach Riley, you've got a lot of guys that, hey, the priority here is to improve the running game. And then Dak's comments yesterday, the first thing he said is, we've got to be able to run the football.
You need more great players, though, to Troy's soundbite, right? For whatever reason, they're coming up short. You don't have enough great players. You don't have a quarterback capable of overcoming. And your front office doesn't believe in building a complete team. You know, the Super Bowl winners look at their roster and say, where are we weak? Let's get a great player there. The Cowboys are like, well, you can't have everything, and we're going to try to win like this. So I don't think it's getting unlucky. I think they're sitting back waiting for incredibly good luck to propel them beyond what their roster is built for.
You get enough bites at the apple, eventually it's going to fall your way.
I think Stephen's
kind of said the exact thing with us.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, You can't just rely on luck and good bounces and just faith and hope that the football gods are going to shine down on you.
Yeah, the one thing that, you know, again, Derek Eagleton asked me this question today. He says, well, what did you learn from the Philadelphia, you know, winning? And I said that how important it is to be able to draft and use free agency both. If you look at what they were able to do going to get the runner, you know, and some of the moves that they made, but their ability to draft. You know, their Georgia kids finally grew up, which really, really helped them. It really did, because for a while there, those Georgia kids didn't look like they were, you know, playing at like the levels we'd seen them play you know, in college, but they grew up. But to go out and draft those two corners and make a huge difference. But yeah, the importance of not just focusing on the draft, but focusing on free agency as well. You know, not only if it's a big get, the running back, or a small get like the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that those things do matter, and you just can't just live on one. You got to be able to do both and thrive in both if you want to have a successful team.
I mean, they're reaping what they sow. You go back to post Aikman, you didn't have a quarterback, then you have Romo and you have Parcells. That might have been the bad luck, the ball in the snow, the wax ball on the field goal, you know. But then, you know, your offensive line retires and gone is Flozell Adams and everything, and now you don't have a defense because you traded away Terrence Newman and Brady James gets old, and it was D-Ware by himself there from like 2010 to 2014. And then, you know, he goes to Denver, you bring in Tank, still don't have a defense in 2014 or 2016. And then your offensive line that you had in 2016, Doug Free and Ron Leary, Doug Free retires, Ron Leary walks. You had 1 year with an unbelievable offensive line, you know, and then you finally get around to building your defense. But because of your salary cap approach, you're building your defense. You let your offense fall off, and now you have an average offensive line.
Yeah,
you know, it's insisting that they're going to build the same quality of team every year.
It's never together.
And insisting you can get it done with quarterbacks like Romo and Dak while not really going for it with the rest of your roster.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things you can
There's multiple winning strategies out there. Go ahead and pick one instead of doing your own thing and hoping to get lucky.
And that's where I do think Emmett was right in terms of, like, do they have a plan and where's the vision? Because oftentimes I've wondered that. What is it? Or is it just reactionary? And a lot of what they've done here, well, our offensive line stinks, let's build it. Okay, well, now the defense is bad, let's go ahead and build that. While we're doing that, now the offense is deteriorating, right?
Yeah.
You're never having like a plan for both at the same time. So by the time you get one side of the ball figured out, now I've got cracks on the other side of the football. You got to find a way to get this thing whole, right, at the same time together. And they've never really had that. They never have. Now, Mel Kiper is raving about an SMU defensive lineman. This is one of my Shrine Bowl guys, Elijah Roberts, SMU edge, who transferred from Miami. He is one of Kiper's draft crushes. He said he didn't do a lot at Miami. The production wasn't there. He goes to SMU, and over the last 2 years, he put it all together. The last four games of the season, he's out there getting in the backfield, wreaking havoc. The opponent knows who they got to stop. Late in the year, they're still not blocking this guy. Last four games, 5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, team captain, 6'4", 295, Elijah Roberts, day 3 pick. And he was wearing number 55 out there practices at the Shrine Bowl. And if you watch the game, and he was definitely a guy during those one-on-one drills, impressive player. That might be another guy. You bring him in for Dallas Day. We're trying to find gems like this on day 3. Mm-hmm. Elijah Roberts, draft fans. Just a name to remember.
Defensive tackle, you said?
Edge. They do have another defensive tackle who's a hyphenated last name.
You've seen through 5th round of some guys, right?
So yeah, certain positions for sure.
Okay, edge?
Edge, I'm probably like 4th round.
Okay. Can you put him anywhere in the...
I think 4th round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, your fourth round edges.
Like he's part of like Johnny Walker Jr., Mizzou kid that I talked about yesterday on the draft show.
Okay. Have you seen Birch and, Ivy, Barron, guys?
Ivy, yes. Birch, I have not. Barron, I have, yes. Ivy's got
Ole Miss,
Ivy's big. Yeah, I like Ivy. Ivy, I'd probably put a little bit ahead of Elijah Roberts.
But you have him as a solid fourth round guy.
Solid fourth round guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
That position, Dawson continues to get deeper.
But the problem is, Cowboys don't have a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
So that's one where it's like, man, if that's the spot you want to take, do you try to get back into the fourth round?
Yeah.
Do I just bank on, like, I got three fives? Maybe Elijah Roberts is there the fifth.
Ask Dawson the question you asked me today about the draft when it came to, would you trade with Arizona and drop to what?
Slide down to 16.
16.
Now you pick up an extra third round pick, 78 overall. So now you got in the third round pick, 76 and 78.
Go down four spots
four
and
spots.
Pick up a third?
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll go down another four spots. Can I get another third?
Can I get another third?
Yeah, I'd like to trade back and take maybe the second best running back, the 20 somewhere.
Okay. Get a Caleb
That's
Johnson out of Iowa.
We had him in that mock draft.
He went the second round. I don't think he's going to be there at 44.
I think you're right about this, Wolchuk, with the runner running backs. They're going to be the best players on the board.
Yeah.
And I think people are just going to take that player who's the best player. And then all of a sudden, in the second at 44, you might be looking at third round backs. But you could be okay with that.
You could.
Depending on if you like these guys enough.
Shedeur Sanders is stacking up his 30 visits. He's going to meet with the Browns and then the Giants. Now, Shedeur also had some interesting comments about being the number one overall pick. This was last week during the draft. He was telling ESPN's Kevin Clark, I'm cool if I'm not going to be the top overall pick because he's buddies with Cam Ward. Here was Shedeur.
It's cool that we close because if we wasn't, then the media would definitely try to pin us against each other. And a lot of stuff we'd just be saying, even in the Viral Clip stuff, we genuinely like play around crazy. We definitely play around crazy, and that's just the relationship, So it's good that we have a relationship because a lot of people try to take things and put it out of context and anything, and it's just like, it's childish.
If you don't go number one, are you the type that holds a grudge forever?
Why would I be mad?
That's right.
Nah, you gotta understand. I think about it like this. These are good problems to have.
I completely agree.
You could be in a way worse situation, So being number one, that don't really matter to me at the end of the day.
I like that.
That don't matter to me because, I could go number one, but it may not be a fit.
Right.
Or I could go number two and it be a fit. Or I could go number three and it be a fit. So it's all about fit. It don't matter. Either any situation you're going into is not going to be the best situation.
Yeah.
So the numbers of it don't really matter. I ain't caught up on that.
Yeah.
But that's why I say I'm thankful that the other prospects that's going 1, 2, or 3 that I believe, we're all cool.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing about it. And it's just like we'll be able to sit there and talk. Hey, you talk to this team? And he was like, nah. I said, nah, that's crazy. I ain't talking to him either. So it's like, it's crazy like that, and it's fun like that, that we're able to be.
And it works out sometimes. Like, it worked out for C.J. Stroud, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't go number one, goes number two. Sometimes I think you'd want to hear your quarterback, like, no, I want to be the number one overall pick. But I thought that the thinking there from Shedeur, I loved it. Made a lot of sense. He's clearly put a lot of thought in. Why am I going to have a grudge if one of my buddies goes number one overall? As long as I end up landing the place that's best for me, and we're ending it, we take off and we ascend in that position. I think that was a good answer.
You really just don't want to go number two, right, to Cleveland? That's what you really want to avoid if you're taking the. I thought he showed incredible perspective. You're not worried about what you can't control. You're not worried about superficial flattery. It doesn't matter. Where am I going to be happiest? What gives me the best chance to win? Because I'd rather go third and be in a situation to win playoff games than really first or second.
Yeah, like I saw some people dogging him for that answer, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought exactly like he's thought a lot, and Deion's probably given him tremendous advice on that as well. It does appear that the Colts could be in the business of the quarterback position again this offseason. Mm. As GM Chris Ballard said that Anthony Richardson hasn't proven he can play a full 17-game season, team needs to add another quarterback to compete with him.
This is what we need the Cowboys to learn from is when you take a guy and he's not good for a year or two, don't keep compounding it by putting him on the field, right? Make him a backup, make him compete for his job, but say, hey, this is a key spot, whether it's quarterback. What I'm talking about with the Cowboys right now, of course, is Tyler Guyton at left tackle.
Sure.
Don't play another year with him out there. We have seen Dak with really good left tackle play. We've seen him without. And he literally turns into a below average quarterback as soon as the left tackle is playing poorly. So if you're serious, Jerry, about winning next year, you better have a hell of a plan to make Tyler Guyton good in one off season, or better yet, spend some money. Go get a veteran left tackle that you're sure. There's nothing wrong with making Guyton a backup while he learns, like he would if he was drafted in any other round. Just pretend like he's a fourth rounder because that's what he played like last year.
Well, and there's something to competition, right? I mean, hey, they keep saying iron sharpens iron. Have him compete. It's not handed to you.
You want the guy to be more professional and mature, right? And go attack this? Right? How do you do that?
Yep.
Handing it over to him is not the answer.
No, if it's just my job, why do I got to fight for it?
And I think they know that because they played Adoga last year. They got to be in this mode, and they can't assume the guy's going to take a step. You know,
he's got to show it to you.
Yeah.
He's got to prove it. Last thing here, Albert Breer did report and confirm our theories that the Steelers are going to be in the market for an Aaron Rodgers or a Matthew Stafford. I did see Deshaun Elliott, Steelers safety, who said leave his ass at the retirement home in regards to Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh. And there's some Jets players that are just bummed about the news that Rodgers is going to be gone, specifically Quinnen Williams, their outstanding defensive tackle. Another rebuild year for me, I guess, with the thumbs down emoji. He loved what Rodgers had. He said he's done a great job of making everyone around him better, which is a very, very key attribute to be in a good locker room. Which every quarterback should be. Obviously, I'd like to have him back. Well, you're not going to get him back, and I don't know what the Jets are going to do at quarterback, but I do feel for a lot of those good defensive players that have balled out, been top five defenses, and it's like, gosh, we suck.
He's old. He tore his Achilles. The stats say he's washed up.
Yeah, you can do
he's
better.
He's washed.
He is washed.
You know, I wouldn't be looking for him if I was the Steelers right now. I'd be looking for Stafford to cut free from the Rams.
Same.
Or otherwise, we're going to go in some other direction. Okay, time now for the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Could the average person get 1 yard in an NFL game if they got 10 tries? CeeDee Lamb and others answered that, and we'll give.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
TNX the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Here we are. Time for the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening every day at this time. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to online to frankelfirm.com. This is exciting. Boss Man Spittle's in studio at the break there, making plans for our draft coverage and our Draft 101 special show that's going to happen the week before the draft.
Sure.
This will be amazing. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we're excited to be at Hurtado this weekend, right?
Yes, we get to be at Hurtado Barbecue this Saturday, 11 a.m. We're recording a live edition of Love of the Stars. So it'll be myself, Broadus, Eric. So come on out. The new location in Dallas, South Harwood Street. It's going to be beautiful, right by the farmer's market. So you get some deliciousness that is Hurtado Barbecue and some fun Cowboys draft talk. It's going to be a blast.
I'm so jealous. I'm not going to be in town. Otherwise,
I was going to buy you some tacos.
I would be
in the family. Whew,
yes. And, you know, that's something that I'll have to look forward to at a future date.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Won't be this weekend, but I'm so excited to have Hurtado here in Dallas.
It's awesome.
We're within DoorDash range now.
Whew.
So
the
life's
possibilities
good.
Are endless.
Life's real good.
Yeah.
Okay. C-Note.
Spend a couple $100, Doss. You never know where that food's going to go, dude.
No. SportsCenter did a radio row bit. They asked a bunch of players, could the average person get 1 yard in an NFL game if they get 10 tries? There's a legendary story back in the day at Portland State, old Mouse Davis.
Mouse Davis, run and shoot.
Let this guy who was a kid at the time get in for one play, broke his ribs. So I don't think many people understand how swift and violent that would be. But if you lined up a victim, right, or a person who wanted to try it and thought, oh, I can do this, I can get a yard, you'd obviously have to sign some sort of a waiver that you won't sue the league when and if you get hurt. I mean, we could be talking about multiple broken bones with one throw to the turf from some of these, you know, a person like me, that's at least one operation,
so
maybe two.
Are you saying, like, in our current state, like me being 61 years old?
No, the average person. Okay, so I imagine the average person somewhere around 5'10", 190 pounds, and runs a 5'140", right? Can that dude, and let's call him like 30 years old, can he get 1 yard in an NFL game if he got 10 tries?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes as well. You just got to run full steam ahead.
Maybe a missed tackle.
Hope there's like just a little bit of a crease, right?
Run to dig side.
Could even just fall forward. Yeah, if you trust your speed to hit the edge. You know?
I mean, how
just dive.
How fast is that hole going to close, right? Because the good offensive lines are going to be able to block it up, and these guys are getting 3-4 yards before contact. How many would the average guy take before contact?
Are we running behind Philly's line?
Well, that's what CeeDee Lamb said. CeeDee Lamb said if they have the Eagles' offensive line, then yes.
I could tush push this thing for a yard. Absolutely behind that line. Yes, I could.
Average man survive that tush push?
Yeah. What you do is you take the snap and you just burrow forward, you know, and you're going to get a yard.
But you got to keep feet on the ground.
These officials are going to mess it up. They're going to give you a yard. You know, they're going to throw the ball around, give you a first down.
Would you try it in this current state now?
Yeah.
You think you'd get that job?
I would take the snap. Take the snap from Cam Jurgens. And then I would like probably go to Jordan Mailata's side, just try and just maybe just kind of go sideways and then just dive. And
see, I don't think you want to get, you don't want to step out from immediately behind the center. That's your shield.
See, but
right
you're
now.
Gonna get
the moment you step in that gap, you can be ended.
I'm gonna take the snap. I'm gonna have Barkley on one side, and then it's the tight end on the other, right?
Yeah.
Barkley is going to leg drive push me for a yard.
Barkley's pushing that tush.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chuck, you're confident in your current state?
No, I'm never confident in my current state, but I think that if I'm behind the Eagles offensive line, I think I could get a yard.
Lucius?
I don't think most people can get a yard at Navarro.
right?
Down there across the Canada.
Yes.
We're talking about all the way to the NFL.
Now, pre-injury, Lucius, 22 years old. Let's put you in your prime. Could you take the yard?
Lucius, she could get you in
the NFL?
Yeah.
You could probably get a yard.
Yeah.
A yard.
Just a yard.
And Lucius, then I'll be telling my story every day for my wheelchair. Yeah, I was out there and I got a yard. And I haven't seen my knee the same way since.
I wonder if you could do it where, like, you think it's going to be the tush-push, but you kind of peel out of there. Like, everybody's collapsing.
Yeah.
But you just kind of walk it.
Well, you see, that's what some of the former players said. Like, maybe not on many of the 10 plays, but you get a good offensive coach in there who's wise and can scheme something up where we're tricking the defense.
Yeah.
Then,
I saw Peyton Manning score a game-winning touchdowns against the Cowboys in that 50.
Yeah, he did.
That Romo. It's like
Broncos.
Everybody thought they were going to run the ball inside, and he just looped it around the left end for a touchdown.
He ran one?
Ran one for the game winner. Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks, one other thing that Dak said yesterday, it actually goes to the offensive line and the running storyline. He said on changes for the team, he said, we just got to get to running the ball. I've always enjoyed play action pass, so just being able to get back to that, when you have that, the rest of the offense can open up. You know, he was second in MVP voting in 2023. They had over 4,000 yards passing. You had a number of guys making big plays in the passing game, and that was with only one 700-yard receiver. You haven't even given him a good wide receiver number two or number three, and he was second in MVP voting, and he even knows if you can't run the football, you're not going to be that much of a credible threat once you get to the playoffs and start playing some of these better defenses. I just can't believe it got so bad. It half makes me wonder if you could just go back in time and have Jason Garrett continue to coach, I bet they'd have a better offensive line than they ended up with, because they spent so much time on the defense, and then they started missing guys. Do you trust their ability still with the offensive line? They did so with Biotish. They overpaid Steele. Guyton might be a whiff for Rooney. Obviously, Tyler Smith was a nice hit there at left guard. But
BB's got a chance.
BB's a hit.
BB's
a hit already?
Yeah, BB's a hit. BB played so many games in college. I think the thing that's hurting Guyton the most, and he was on the tail end of our evaluations for potential first-round offensive tackles, he played the least amount of games in college. He had the least amount of experience. I don't think he was ready to play.
He basically played 1 year at OU.
And so I'm taking it as, you're right, there could be bigger issues there. I'm taking it as these guys that play like a lot of games, like Martin and Frederick, Smith, these guys, I'm taking they're more plug-and-play ready. BB, plug-and-play ready. Than say what Guyton was.
I blame myself for some of the Tyler Guyton hype. My notes on him are a project. I looked back and I looked at there's a lot of talent there. There was effort was not an issue for me. I mean, I saw him chasing down a guy 60 yards down the field trying to spring a block for a long touchdown run. But there were a lot of concerns with just hand placement, footwork. He was a project guy. And we just, because the Cowboys drafted him, we just went ahead and said, he's going to fall in line with these other hits, and he's not. So he's a guy that needed some
work. Well, we talked about the learning curve. I know we
did, but I know I did. I fell into the spell of, like, the Cowboys know what they're doing, and I leaned into that probably a little bit too much, that he's going to just hit the ground running. And for one guy, he didn't do it, right? So he needs to prove that he can take another jump year two. There's no excuses going into year two now. Yeah. He either has it or he doesn't after this year.
But I think if you want the dominant offensive line, these guys can't just be kind of good, like credible starters. They need to be Pro Bowlers, All Pros. Do you think Cooper Beebe has established he's on that path after his rookie year?
Cooper Beebe can. I think he definitely would be as a guard. But I think he showed enough ability as a center, especially now getting his former O-line coach here, who we know can get the best out of him. I just love Beebe. I think he's going to be fine.
I think, Brian, getting a new coaching staff in here, getting a great college running back could really help this run game. But you give me a great set of offensive linemen, now I'm thinking this is a team that Dak could go win a Super Bowl with. And I don't know, is Cooper Beebe on that path to Pro Bowls and All-Pro in your mind?
I think Cooper Beebe, for not having played center for a long time, and I mean, let's be honest, there were times at training camp we were watching practice and the ball was sailing over Dak's head and we're like, oh, damn, here
Absolutely.
We go. But every week he got a little bit better. His second level blocks got better. He did a better job once Martin And I hate to say this, once Martin was out of there, though, him and Hoffman, they were doing a lot better job with the combo blocks and things like that. So I think that the learning curve for him was a lot smaller than it was for, and even though he hadn't played center in such a long time, he looked like he's up to the task. I think there's future of the type of guy that could be mentioned as a Pro Bowl type player. He's got power. He's got the ability to get push. He's a good pass blocker. He doesn't give up pressures. I mean, there's a lot to like about this player.
Okay, up next here on the C-Note, where we look at the top Cowboy headlines of the day, Cowboys wire approaching the OSA free agency like this. They asked the question, should the Cowboys let both their safeties go to make room to keep OSA? We're talking, of course, about Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker. The combined cap number for those guys next year goes to over $16 million. You could recoup half of that. If you cut them at the start of the league year, you would open up $8 million. Pro Football Focus ranking Wilson and Hooker as the 44th and 60th best safeties in football. Pretty bad. I mean, I think, you know, you could just isolate the decision to, shouldn't the Cowboys need new safeties one way or another or be looking for them, or do you want to bring these guys back, Brian?
Yeah, I took a beating about the whole Hooker thing. And then, you know, hey, you need to move on from him. And then they re-signed him, and I still think they need safeties. And I'm going to continue my quest of trying to get them to look at safeties. And I think this draft actually has a couple of them there, you know, that if you got stuck, say at 44, that you might want to consider for this football team. But my quest is to try and get better at free safety. I think they need to do better than Hooker. I think their defense would be better if they moved on from him.
All right, we have an NFL draft big board report coming up a little bit later on in the show. We'll really drill down on the draft. The final thing, Dez Bryant making headlines. It's starting to sound like some of these legends are listening to us here on The Fan. And, you know, it's probably more like, you know, they just come to the same conclusions because they're observing and they're honest with themselves about what the hell's going on here. But, you know, Bryant was talking about the coaching decision. He said, but with Jerry Jones, there's no way they would go after somebody like Prime or Ben Johnson. Too big of a personality. But Ben Johnson, if anything, Cliff, I would have given him anything he wanted. So Dez Bryant didn't agree with the coaching hire, but he says it feels like everybody is in a comfort zone, and that's not what we need. We got the biggest franchise in sports, and we're acting like we're this poverty franchise for whatever reason. Dez Bryant joining the army of legends tearing this front office up.
I've texted him so much to try and get him to come on. I'd love to have him on our show and talk about some things. I think he's got a really good opinion about things, and I think he just doesn't, you know, it's not that he doesn't care. He really does care.
Yeah, he's a huge fan.
But he's a huge fan, and, you know, and that's something I wish he'd come on and kind of visit with us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. It's always good to chat Cowboys football and whatever else with Dez Bryant. Anytime he wants to jump on, he's welcome. Okay, NFL draft big board report's going to hit at 4:40. Coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I want to focus. There's one of my favorite scouts did a mock draft, but I want to focus on the players he took after Dallas picked. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. NBA reporter George Sedano's coming up at 4 o'clock here on The Fan. Right now, time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Energy. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, Trump. Thank you very much to Reliant for being back with me.
Yeah.
Well, we do appreciate those folks over there. Do fine work. So I hope to make you proud here with the Krusty's Corner every day. By the way, Zach and I did a Love of the Star podcast today. Make sure you check it out after the nighttime show. Maybe when you're working out later on, whatever.
Yeah, when you're working
after our show, after you get done listening with us, but you know, listen to those guys at the nighttime too. They're a lot of fun. But yeah, check us out. Like I say, we're trying to do more of those, and it seems like our schedules are working out pretty good right now too. So we plan on keep on doing that. And then, like I say, we're going to be at the barbecue,
Hurtado Barbecue in Dallas, Farmers Market area
on Saturday. So looking forward to that.
11 o'clock.
Looking forward to that. Okay. Daniel Jeremiah is one of my good friends. And Daniel and I mean, both former scouts, you know, both now in the opportunity to be in media and take this drafting stuff very, very seriously. And he did a mock draft. And Zach, I'm really going to lean on you on this one.
Okay.
Because I'm going to need your help. Because Daniel at 12 took Ashton Jeanty, okay? But I want to go through who was taken afterwards.
All right.
And I want to know your opinion on, would that been a guy that you would have absolutely considered? Or, nah, I'm going to pass on that guy. Or is, or is it a situation where, like, you know, maybe you would have done something completely different, maybe another position. But so Ashton Jeanty on Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, first one, is the pick for the Cowboys at 12. Okay, the Dolphins pick at 13 behind you.
Okay.
He hasn't taken Kelvin Banks, the tackle, you know, tackle, guard, wherever you want to play him. I think, you know, a lot of people have him playing tackle. I know I think I could probably play him at guard, and I think I'd probably have a pretty damn good player there. Would you consider Kelvin Banks at Dallas's spot at 12?
I'd absolutely consider it. I like Banks more than you do. I think Banks can play tackle. I think if you want to kick him inside to guard, maybe he is dominant. I have concerns about just assuming a guy that's been a left tackle his entire career in Texas is just going to be able to play right guard. If that's what you need him to do, it's a totally other side, and it's a new position.
Right.
So we've heard Zach Martin talk about it like it's learning how to rewipe the other side, the other way, right?
Sure.
It's not, I don't know that that's, I'm not doing that. If I'm drafting Banks, I'm keeping him on the left side.
Okay.
And that's either I'm kicking Tyler out to left tackle,
right,
and Banks can kick inside to guard, or he's my starting left tackle and I'm moving Guyton over to the other side.
So Booker Alabama then.
Booker Alabama's a plug and play right guard to me.
Okay. See, this is why I feel like, you feel like Booker Alabama right guard could play left tackle?
No, I think he's a true guard.
See, this is why I would take Banks.
I'd take Donovan Jackson.
I love Donovan Jackson from Ohio State.
That guy I know can play guard and tackle.
There you go. Yeah, that's a really good point.
But I mean, he's the guy that I'm kind of becoming more and more. Like, if I got to take a lineman, he's the lineman I'm taking.
Let me ask you this with Jackson from Ohio State. Would you consider, is he a, if, and I'm going to go through a scenario where, like you and I did earlier. One of our listeners asked us a question about a trade back at 16 to Arizona. And I was going to ask you, would you consider Jackson at 16 if you move back?
Yes. Absolutely, I would.
Okay.
Because I think he's safe. I think he's a safe player.
Yeah, Dawson, this is a kid that played left guard, and then when Simmons got hurt at Ohio State, they kicked him out to left tackle.
They won a national championship.
I love this idea of taking an offensive lineman with position flex.
Yeah. Okay. But you'd be totally on board, and you're right. You have first-round grade on Banks, right?
I do.
Okay. Okay. Indianapolis takes Jahdae Barron.
Okay.
Is that too high for you at four? Would you consider him at 12?
I'd consider him at 12. I don't know if the Cowboys would consider him at 12, and I would not consider him over Ashton Jeanty. I think Jeanty's a better player.
Okay. Atlanta takes, with 15, they take Will Johnson. And let me read you what's said about Will Johnson, and this is coming from Daniel Jeremiah. And if you remember, Will Johnson's a corner from Michigan.
Corner from Michigan, 6'2", long arms.
Yeah.
But just not a, doesn't run well for me.
Here we go. He was one of these guys, Dawson. Will Johnson was talked about as a top 2-3 type of a player when this whole process started.
Really?
Now he's starting to slide into the 15 spot. Could be even lower on some boards. And I'll read you why. Johnson is the most polarizing player around the league. He provides size and production, but some questions emerge about his tackling and top-end speed in 2024. Doesn't sound like a corner.
I like Barron more than Will Johnson.
I do, too.
I actually put Morrison, the Notre Dame corner.
Yeah.
He's ahead of Johnson on my board, too.
Yeah.
And I could see, be, this I, might be the player I am so wrong about, but I don't see the Will Johnson love.
I am worried. I am worried that, and I initially did not, I did not see this guy run well at all. And if you watch him cover Marvin Harrison from 2023, you'll like, well, okay, All right. I see what you're doing
here. I mean, that's impressive tape.
That's impressive.
It is.
It's very impressive tape. But I do worry about his height at 6'2" playing, and I do worry about his lack of speed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the ball skills, like I've seen some comps to Diggs with him, and he was productive. I think he had 9 interceptions over the course of his college career. I think Barron's got better ball skills.
I think Barron has much better ball skills than this kid. I think Barron moves better. But you could watch Barron late in this playoff and there's some games where he's really, really good, and then there's some games like you see in breaking routes on him and stuff like that. And that kind of, I love, you give me a corner that can cover in breaking routes.
Which is hard to do. A lot of these guys will give those up. But do you tackle?
Do you tackle when it happens?
And Barron will tackle.
Yeah.
You can't have big red flags like that on a player at 12 at this point.
Will Johnson. Okay, Will Johnson doesn't do anything for you?
I'm scared of him.
I am too. And I'm starting to see him slide further and further and further down the board. And I wonder now if the media scouts are catching up with,
Just a lot of later corners that I think you could get that are going to be good. Kobe Bryant, the corner from Kansas, I'm a big fan of. He could be skinny guy. I get it, but I love his game. Thomas from Florida State, Wanye's brother.
Yeah.
That's a good player right there. I like Parrish, the Kansas State kid, but he's small. I get it. There's some knocks on these guys. But when you're not drafting in the first two rounds, you're going to take a guy that's probably 5'10", but he runs well.
Yeah. Okay, we get down to Arizona's spot, and this is where you and I worked on. We had a question on Love of the Star today. Would you trade down from 12 to 16 and take Arizona's pick? That would be number 70. That would be 76 or 78, which Dallas's pick was.
Cowboys picked 76.
Right.
So they got 78 from Arizona.
So, Dawson, you would get picks in the third round. You would get pick 70, your own pick at 76, and Arizona's pick at 78. So you're getting actually 4 players inside the top 80 players in the draft.
You got to do it. I think you look at your needs at a position that don't have a high value on them that can have depth.
Okay.
You talk about the defensive tackles. You look at guard. You look at linebacker. You look at safety. Third round is a great round to be looking at those positions, Brian. So if I can drop 4 spots, still get a player I like in the first round, that's mandatory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Chuck, they take Jalen Walker here with the Arizona Cardinals pick.
Ooh, I'd sign me up.
Okay, now let's focus on what players are there if you drop back.
Okay.
Okay, so all the players ahead, they're all gone. All these players are gone ahead of you. Would you take Jalen Walker then at 16?
Yes.
Would you take Jalen Walker at 12?
I'd consider Jalen Walker at 12.
He's a linebacker from Georgia.
Were you fighting with Vosh about this today?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Vosh and I think he's an edge.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's a linebacker.
But to me, either way, that's filling 2 needs. I need somebody else to get after the quarterback, and if the Cowboys evaluate him as an off-ball guy, you need help at linebacker, too.
Vosh is telling me there's edges that are much better than this kid.
Green is a better edge, but, man, Walker...
Ole Miss kid?
Give me Walker over... the Ole Miss kid's... I mean, but over Pierce Jr., give me Walker from Tennessee.
See, I'm the same way. Vach and I were going at it pretty strong, and he made some really good points about, that he felt like he goes, listen, you take Walker as an edge, he's not as good as, Umalinen. How do I say it?
It's a tough...
Umalinen?
I don't know, man. Go with you.
But Vach was all over me about it. And we had a whole show basically about these two players or where you would play him at edge. Okay. But you'd be okay with him at 16.
I think Jalen Walker's just a hell of a football player.
Okay. Yeah. How about this one? The Cincinnati at 17 takes Walter Nolan.
Okay. I mean, that'd be a pen throw for me. I'd be like, hell yes. I think the Cowboys are going to love I think they do love Walter Nolan.
See, this is
defensive tackle at Ole Miss.
This is a 3-technique defensive tackle.
Transfer from A&M.
Yeah, that plays at times really well. And then other times, Dawson, you don't see him at all.
Ooh.
So, okay, Walter Nolan. If you traded back, would you consider Walter Nolan there, Wolchuk, at 16?
I'd feel better about him there at 16 than I would at 12.
Because you picked up the extra three?
Yes, exactly. And there is explosiveness to Nolan's game.
He scares the F out of me.
I just see a lack of consistency. But then you watch him in the Senior Bowl and those practices, he was exceptional. He really, really was.
Yeah. Man, I just didn't see enough of it. Though. Okay, how about
this one? Sounds like another Tristan Hill to me.
Okay. How about this one, Wolchuk?
It's a little better, but yeah.
18, Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan.
Take Grant over Nolan. And I know Michigan defensive tackle, you say, but this dude is more athletic, and I think he's got some flex.
337 pounds.
I think he's a better run defender, much better run defender than Walter Nolan is, but he does have some good pass rush ability. Honestly, I think he's going to be better at the next level than he was in Michigan.
Yeah, I tell you what, people are saying no Michigan guys here. They don't want anything.
The two defensive tackles this year out of Michigan are really good, and I have really Mozzie good. Questions, okay? Yeah, but these two guys are not that.
Okay, at 16, would you take Grant over Nolan? You said you would. How about Walker?
No, I'd take Walker.
Okay. Okay, let's go down. We got one more. We'll go one more. Jihad Campbell, linebacker, Tampa Bay, goes at 19. Would you take Jihad Walker on a trade back to Arizona at 16?
Jihad Campbell?
Campbell.
At 16, he's the best linebacker, I think, in the draft. I do have him ahead of Schlesinger from UCLA.
Yeah.
And that dude also can give you a little rushing ability, too. He's a good blitzer. They lined him up on the edge sometimes. Like, I like Jihad Campbell. That dude's a freak athlete. And he's sideline to sideline.
Sounds like a beast to me. Problem solved.
The guys are really, really good. Now, we're talking about linebackers, and I'm trying to convince everybody that, hey, you need to go spend some money on Nick Bolton. But we also talk, I mean, a little bit ago, I went through like four or five linebackers, right, that potentially are going to be free agents.
You might need two.
I would take Campbell at 16. I would absolutely consider him at 16. I would consider Grant at 16. I don't think I would consider Walter Nolan at 16. I would pass on that. I would take Walker at 16 for sure.
I've got Walter Nolan in the third round.
It is time to consider now your best questions for George Sedano, gentlemen.
Got it.
Krusty's Corner is in the books. Detailed look there at all the scenarios facing the Cowboys there at 12 and trade downs.
Yep.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. And NBA reporter George Sedano joins us next. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.